Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Genesis chapter number 24 this morning. I began reading back through my Bible this year, and in doing it, I come across chapter 24 of Genesis. Amen. And what a phenomenal chapter this is in the Word of God. Now, I want you to pray for me this morning, and the reason that I say that is this. I have one gear usually when I'm preaching, and it is really hard on me to slow down, but I'm having to. I just don't have the breath that I normally have where I'm trying to get over this pneumonia, and I really just want to rear back and preach like a wild man this morning on this text, but I just don't have the energy to do that. So you help me pray that I can still relay to you the thoughts that God has put in my heart out of this chapter this week. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 24, verse number 1, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest?" The Bible said in verse number 10, "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master was in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor." The Bible said in verse 11, "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show me kindness unto my master Abraham." Now, Father, I love you today, and I thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come back into your house, Father, and worship you today. God, I know that we may be off a little bit in number, but God, Father, I still know that you know what's going on, and Father, you've got everything under control, and God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today as we look into your Word. I pray, God, that you'd help us to recall the things that we've studied, God. Father, the things that you've put on my heart, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to relay them to your people today. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us strength physically and mentally today, God. I pray, Lord, that you just meet our need as only you can. Father, you know the needs of this service today, Father, and help the hearers today, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'll read you a verse out of the book of Galatians this morning. Then I'm going to come back into the book of Genesis for a few minutes. The Bible said this in Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 8. "And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Now, according to the Word of God in Galatians, the gospel was preached unto Abraham. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And here in Genesis chapter 22, 23, and Genesis 24, the gospel is preached unto Abraham. We see a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God is doing in the life of Abraham and in the life of Isaac. Now, understand something with me this morning. When we come into our Bible, every passage of Scripture has a primary interpretation, has a prophetical implication, but it also has a practical application. Let me explain what I'm saying. The primary interpretation is simply the context of the Scripture. Exactly what it is saying, line upon line, precept upon precept. The prophetical implication is this: out of every passage of Scripture, there is some type of prophecy that can be seen out of that. The prophetical implication that we find here is the gospel preached unto Abraham. You say, well, preacher, how in the world did Abraham have the gospel preached to him in the life of Isaac? Well, we know that Isaac was Abraham's only begotten son according to God and what he said. You say, well, no, there was another son. Well, understand this, that other son was the work of the flesh. That was not the work of God. His other son was not the work of God. And God never recognizes the work of the flesh. So he recognizes Isaac as the only begotten son of Abraham. What did God tell Abraham to do? He told Abraham in chapter number 22 to take his son, his only son, apart on the mountain and kill him that day. So in the life of Abraham and in the mind of Abraham, Abraham submitted to doing what God had told him to do. And you know what Abraham does? Abraham takes Isaac, his son, apart on the mountain to kill him that day and to sacrifice him that day. You may say, well, preacher, Isaac never died that day. But understand this with me. Whenever you study the Bible out in Genesis 22, when God tells Abraham to take Isaac on the mountain, until the time, Brother Tim, that God does take Abraham on the mountain that day, you that knows your Bible knows that it was 3 days. There was 3 days that went by. In the mind of Abraham, for 3 days, Isaac had been dead in his mind that day. Whenever Isaac starts on the mountain that day, you know where the wood is placed? The wood is placed on Isaac's back. When Jesus walked up Calvary's hill that day, where was the cross placed at? Where was the wood placed at? It was placed on the son's back that day as he made his way up Calvary's hill. Isaac, you know, goes to the top of the mountain and God provides a sacrifice for him that day. And Isaac don't have to die. Isaac is able to live. Chapter number 23 comes into play and Sarah dies off the scene. Chapter 24 comes around and now Abraham is going to find his son a bride. Abraham's going to find his son a bride. Who is his son? His son is Isaac. Can I give it to you this way prophetically? Abraham is a type of God and Isaac is a type of his son. And what is God doing? God is preparing a bride for his son. Who is the bride today? The bride is you and I. God is preparing us for a great wedding that'll take place one day on the other side. Amen. And what a day, a glorious day that day will be. Here in chapter number 24, it's so interesting that in chapter number 1, I think there's 31 verses. Let me go back and look. I need to catch my breath anyway. Everybody awake? 31 verses in chapter number 1. Chapter number 1 of Genesis. Does anybody know what happens in chapter number 1? Creation. I mean, the world, 6 days, the world is created in chapter number 1. I don't know about anybody else, but chapter number 1 is pretty phenomenal to me. The whole world is created in chapter number 1, but God only allots 31 verses for chapter number 1 in the creation of the world. But in chapter number 24 of Genesis, he takes 67 verses. the biggest chapter in the book of Genesis. He takes 67 verses to deal with Abraham finding a bride for Isaac. What is it? It is a type of us as the believers being drawn to God and being saved. Now, Abraham here, whenever we study this out, decides to send a servant to find Isaac a bride. Now, if you want to look at it in the context or in a prophetical implication, if you want to look at it that way, I believe that we can see this servant right here is a type of the Holy Spirit of God in the context of the Scripture. He is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. But I also believe that there is a practical application that can be made this morning as this servant as a picture of us and the work that we are now called to do for the Lord. Now, can I say something to you this morning? God did not save us to sit on a church pew and do nothing. I understand that these are challenging times, and I understand that because of that, we are adventuring into new ways to reach our community besides knocking on doors, and hopefully this spring we'll hit all of that again. I understand that there is new methods that we are exploring now, but hear me and hear me well. God did not save us just to sit around and do nothing. God saved us to do a work for Him. God has something for each and every person in this room to do. You say, you know, preacher, I just wonder if God's not done with me. Hear me and hear me well. If you are breathing, God is not done with you. God has a plan for your life. To think that God wants to use me and to think that God wants to use you should be humbling to us. God is interested in us. God wants to use us. I want to look at this servant today and use him as just a practical application today of us serving the Lord and what we can do for Him. This servant right here, I find this interesting about him, Brother Tim. I've studied him all week. I find this interesting. Nowhere in chapter number 24 is his name mentioned. We don't find his name. Now, many people, and I probably agree with them, many people believe that it's Eleazar, the eldest servant, is who they believe that it is. But nowhere in this chapter do we find his name. But you know what? And no less than 19 times in this chapter, he makes reference to this, my master. You see, this servant, it was not really important who he was. It was not really important what his name was. What was the important part of this servant was this, that he was doing what his master asked him to do. The important part was this, not who he was, but who he was representing. It wasn't about him. It was about Abraham, and it was about Isaac. You see, you and I today, it's not really about us today. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but it is not about you, and it is not about me today. Let me tell you what it's about today. It's about lifting high the bloodstained banner and representing God and Jesus the way that we should. Our heavenly Abraham and our heavenly Isaac, it should be our desire to represent them and to serve them. Here's one thing that I find about a servant, and you've heard me say this before. A servant that is a true servant, he has one objective in his life. One objective, and you know what that is? To be pleasing to the master. Whatever the master asks him to do, then that's what he wants to do. That true servant only wants to be pleasing to his master. Many times we say we want to be like Christ. Matter of fact, we say that we are quote unquote Christians and we want to be like Christ, but hear me tonight or this morning, what was Christ? Jesus took upon himself what? The form of what? A servant today. He was a servant. That's what he was. Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus prayed, not my will. Not my, I was reading this week, and social media is so full of garbage. Somebody say amen. So full of garbage. And I hardly ever go on Facebook or Instagram anymore. I'll check it to make sure nobody put something stupid on my wall or something other. But I enjoy, now don't fall out with me here, Brother Stan, but I enjoy every morning. I told Leslie over the past few weeks I've learned that I'm getting old. I get up in the mornings now and I cough and I gag and I blow my nose 14 times and use a Nebby pot. Somebody say amen right there. Well, ain't nobody being honest this morning. And then I read the Word of God for a little while. And I eat a little bit. I don't eat as soon as I get up. And I eat a little bit. And man, I'm telling you what, I've put down some eggs and french fries over the past few weeks. And I'll eat a little bit. And then after I eat, I'll fix me a good cup of coffee. Somebody say amen for coffee. I'll fix me a good cup of coffee, and the girls got me a cup a couple years ago, a Yeti cup that says the best dad, and that's what I always drink my coffee in the mornings, and I'll get that, Brother Brian, and I'll sit down in my recliner, and I'll start drinking my cup of coffee, and I go to Twitter, and I follow a bunch of different people on Twitter that makes quotes. I follow Spurgeon quotes. I follow gospel quotes. I follow Elizabeth Elliot, Corey Ten Boone, and just a host of quotes. And I'll sit down and I'll read those quotes as I'm drinking my, those inspirational quotes as I'm drinking my cup of coffee. And here's what one of them said the other day. It said that we're all interested in praying, Lord, if it be this will, let this cup pass from me. But nobody's interested in praying, nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. You know what a servant says? A servant says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what this servant is saying right here to Abraham? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever it is, Abraham, that you want me to do, if it's traveling, if it's doing this, if it's doing that, then Abraham, that's what I'm willing to do. I want you to see a couple things about this servant. Number one, note this with me. The servant sending. Look what the Bible said in verse number 4. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. There was the servant's sending. You see, Abraham was not interested in the servant just sitting at the house. You see, for Abraham's son to have a bride, then the servant was going to have to be sent out to go find the bride. Now, I want you to understand something with me today. It is not my place to save the lost. Can I say that again? It is not my place to save the lost. I cannot, Brother Randy, save the lost. I cannot save one person that's sitting in this room today. You know what my place is today? My place is to go out and represent Abraham the way that I'm supposed to. The sending of that servant. He sent that servant out. You know what the Bible said to us in the book of Matthew? He said, and we're using this as a theme verse this year. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Hey, God has something for each of us to do. And there is a sending that took place. Go. He sent the servant out. I want to say something to you today. There is a bride of Christ out there, and it's up to us to go tell them about Christ. It's up to us to go tell them about Christ. The sending of Abraham. The master had a specific plan for this servant. He had something very specific for this servant to do. And here's what I want you to see today. God has a specific plan for your life, just like he did, Abraham did, for this servant. God has something for you to do. I've said this many times and I'll say it again and I'm going to move. But I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. There is some people that you can reach that I'll never be able to reach. There's people that I can reach that you'll never be able to reach. There's people that'll listen to me that would never listen to you, but there's people that'll listen to you that'll never listen to me. You say, preacher, why is that so important to understand? Here's the reason why. Now that we are saved, if you're saved this morning, if you're not, I invite you to get saved. But now that we are saved, our heavenly Abraham has sent us into this world. Has sent us into the, number one, I see is sending. But number two, and here's really where I wanted to get to this morning. I not only see is sending, but I see his supply this morning. I see the servant's supply. Look with me in verse number 10. The Bible said this. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. I've read this chapter I don't know how many times this week. And I've listened to it I don't know how many times this week. But this morning I was sitting at the house and I was reading this chapter again. I was sitting there at the kitchen table and I had opened the blinds and was watching the sun come up. And I read this again and listened to what it said. This is where I wish that I could hit an inhaler for just a second and preach about 15 minutes like a wild man. Listen to what he said. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master was in his hand. If you underline in your Bible, I invite you to underline that right there. All the goods of his master were in his hand. You see, the servant was sent out to do something. But the servant was not sent out to do something without the adequate supplies that he needed to fulfill what the master had for him to do. You say, Preacher, I'm telling you, preacher, it's getting hard right now. I don't know how I'm going to keep going. Hear me and hear me well. The master knows where you're at. The master don't send you out without the supplies you need. Oh, yes. His supplies. Look at this. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. I began to study camels. Matter of fact, some people says that this is the first time that smoking is mentioned in the Bible. Because when you read on, it said she lit off her camel. Y'all will get it in a little while. She lit off her camel. I thought it was funny. But I got to studying these camels. Did you know a camel is a very interesting creature? I mean, I'm talking about these camels are very interesting. Let me show you something about this camel. The camel, whenever you study it out, is a burden bearer. The camel is a burden bearer. Here's what I found out. As the Old Testament Bible characters would go from place to place, they often had camels to carry the heavy loads and the supplies that were involved in taking a long journey. I read that a normal size camel can carry a person on board and an additional, listen to this, 800 pounds. And an additional 800 pounds. I began to think about this and I began to think about these camels right here. And my mind went back to a preacher by the name of Buster, Brother Buster. Does anybody know his last name? Brother Buster Seaton. Brother Buster Seaton preached a message on the gospel as preached unto Abraham. You need to go home and look it up and listen to it. And he talks about these camels, and as I listen to it again, here is the way that he referred to them. He referred to these camels as a type of grace in the Christian's life. Can I say something to you today? As we think about these camels today, I believe that we can see the grace of God and a picture of the grace of God in these camels today. Yes, there is a lot of things in this life that God has called us to do. And yes, sometimes it does get weary and the battle does get long. Oh, but aren't you glad that God didn't leave us without anybody to help us or someone to help bear our burdens along the way? They're a burden bearer. They're a burden bearer. I began to read on, and here's what I found. I found that it was tough on the desert travelers when there was no camels. They had to try to carry the load all on their own, on their backs, and also walk while traveling. I thought about this. What a relief that it must have been for them to know that they had a camel to help carry their load. The Bible said this in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Yes, God has commissioned us to do something, but God has given us grace to do that. I read this the other night. Said that engineers on a train don't like a moonlit night. And here's the reason they say that they don't like a moonlit night. It said that the moonlight casts a shadow across the track in places. And that in casting that shadow, they are constantly thinking that it's an animal or a person or something on the railroad. And when they do that, it causes them to be alarmed and, of course, to slow the train down. But they are worried about a shadow, and it's not something that's real. How many times in our life do we borrow worry from shadows? Do we borrow worry from shadows? Let me tell you what we need to do in our life. Hey, God has given us something to do. God has placed us here for such a time as this. Hey, it is not a surprise to God that we're sitting here in the middle of what we're sitting in. It's not a surprise to God that some of you sitting in this room is going through the storms that you're going through, that you're walking through what seems to be a desert in your life. But aren't you thankful that God has placed some grace along the way? I found this. The camel is a burden bearer, but the camel also is equipped for service. He's equipped for what he has set out to do. I began to study this camel more, and here's what I found out. Human sweat, when the outside temperature rises above the normal body temperature, but a camel has a unique body thermostat. It can raise the body temperature tolerance level very high to adapt to the high temperatures in the desert. And as a result, the body's fluids are preserved and water loss is avoided. What about that? What about that? In the middle of the desert, here's also what I found about it. It's equipped for service. Here's also what I found out about it. The camel has a very unique eye. Has a very unique eye. In the desert, the storms would blow, the wind would blow, and those sandstorms would blow. That camel, Brother Randy, here's what I found out, has an additional eyelid. And if you'll ever notice, a camel's eyelashes are very long. And that camel, in the midst of that desert, when the storm is blowing, that camel can drop another set of eyelids. And it protects its eyes against the elements of the sandstorm. And even in the worst of a sandstorm, a camel can continue to journey through the hot desert sand. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. God don't send us out to do something without supplying the needs that we have. Oh, yes, it may get too tough for us sometimes. But aren't you glad we have the camels of grace to help us along the way? There's so much you could say about it. I learned this about the camel. The camel has a very unique nose. They do. When you look at them, they're ugly. Here's what I found out about that camel, the nose of that camel. I'm talking about This servant had everything that he needed for the journey that his master was sending him on. That nose of that camel, listen to this, this is amazing, can smell water. Can smell water. I mean, I've never been able to, sometimes we'll say this, I smell the rain coming. I think it's a hoax, but we all say, yeah, I do too. He can smell water, but listen to this. He can smell water up to 50 miles away. Up to 50 miles away. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Abraham had a task for his servant, and he sent him on a long journey. But for everything that he needed on that journey, God or Abraham provided that servant with everything that he needed. Listen to this. I found this out. A camel, his foot is completely different. When you study his foot out, his foot is very unique in the way that it's made. They're broad and they're flat, and they've got leathery pads with two toes on each foot. And the way that that foot is made, whenever it walks on the sand, it is just about like it is gliding on the sand. A camel, even though with its load, can weigh up to 1,500 to 2,000 pounds, will never sink up in the sand. Why? Because the way God designed its foot. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying to you today. In this world, we do not have to sink up in the muck and the mire of this world. God has given us what we need for the journey that is ahead of us. Here's also what I found out about the camel. The camel's got 34 teeth. And they are sharp, razor-like teeth. And in the midst of the desert, the camel, because of the way his mouth and his teeth is designed, can eat anything. They say that a camel can eat the briars of a briar patch and get the moisture out of that to help him on his journey. I don't think you're getting what I'm telling you this morning. What I'm saying is this. Abraham sent that servant out. But Abraham made sure that servant had everything that that servant needed to provide for him and to make the journey that was ahead of him. Camel's got two humps on its back. Here's what I found out. In the midst of the storm, the rider of a camel can get down, can cover itself and get down and use that as a shelter in the storm. That camel can flip its other eyelids down. And no matter how hot the sand may be, no matter how much the sand may be blasting against him, that camel can continue its journey through the desert no matter how bad the storm. You see, Abraham had something for the servant to do. Abraham had a very specific task for him. But Abraham was not going to send that servant out without that servant supplied needs of what it had. I want you to hear me this morning. God has a task for every person in this room. And sometimes, Miss Tanya, come start playing softly. I've got several points and I just want to be obedient to the Lord. Sometimes on this journey, we think the sand is hitting us too hard. We think that we can't go another mile. But aren't you glad that God, what did he say? He said this. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Paul prayed to the Lord. Paul prayed and said, let this thorn be took away from me. He had a thorn in the flesh. What it was, we don't know. People can speculate, but we don't know because the Bible don't tell us. And he prayed thrice for God to remove that thorn from his flesh. God said, no, I'm not going to remove it. But my grace will be sufficient for you in that. You see, you may be in the storm right now. And it may seem that God is nowhere around. But hear me and hear me well. God is not forgot where you're at. God has given us the supplies to meet every need that we have. Not only did he have the camel to lead him along the way, but every good thing of the master was at his hand. Every good thing of the master was at his hand. Everything the servant needed, he had. We're not here by ourselves today. God didn't throw us out here in the desert. God didn't throw us out here in the wilderness called life just to try to make it on our own. There was the servant sending. God does send us out. I don't know about anybody else this morning. I sure am thankful that God supplies every need that we have. Leslie went to the grocery store the other day. She sent me a message. She said, I was at the house when I was real sick. She sent me a message and she said, $175, but I'm headed home. I thought, $175? She didn't have but about four bags when she come in. What groceries is anymore? I responded back to her and here's what I said, Brother Brian. At least we had the $175. Every need. Are you hearing the preacher this morning? Every need that I've ever had in this life, he's met it. Every need, he's met it. Every time I've went to him, he's been there. His grace is sufficient. Supply this morning. That servant, after he realized the supplies he had, there was a supplication that was made. He goes to praying. And he prays a very direct prayer. God answers it. Then that servant had a salute. You know what he done in verse number 26? And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. He had a salute. After God done what God said he would do, you know what he done? He said, Lord, I just think I'll praise you this morning. God, I think I'll just thank you for being so good to me. There was that servant splendor. That servant got to Rebecca. You know what that servant did? That servant began to pull out some little trinkets, some little gold chains and some earrings and some bracelets. You know what he was doing? He was showing Rebecca just a little taste of what was to come. Just a little taste of what was to come. I wish I had an hour to preach all this. And you know what? There was the servant's satisfaction. Here's the reason why. That servant got Rebecca and took Rebecca back to Isaac. And you know what happened? Isaac and Rebecca got married. And was fruitful and multiplied and had children. You said, preacher, what do you get out of that? Here's what I get out of that. God has sent us out to do something. And what a joy it is when I get a phone call from one of the preachers that says, hey, Brother Jonathan, I just wanted to tell you we had one saved over here at the church today. You know what that is? You know what that is? That is God showing us that our work is not in vain in him. I'll tell you the reason Rebecca got back to Isaac, because of the servant. I understand it's the Holy Ghost that draws the person to salvation, but it's up to you and I to take the gospel to them. He's got a work for us. And in this work, if you don't get nothing I'm preaching to you this morning, I want you to get this. God has supplied everything that we need for it. Everything that we need for it. Everything he's provided this morning.